Good morning, my beloveds, and welcome to the Cloud Church of the Conscious Harmony. It's really good to be together and to see some of you in person and all of you virtually, wherever you may be. We wish to feel the love of God together in this communion of saints online. And on this Ascension Sunday, it's a Sunday more than ever where that makes sense to us from a spiritual perspective that Jesus ascended into the cloud. And that the clouds cover Jesus up. Now, we do know that one can't breathe past 14 or 15,000 feet up in there. So something was happening there, and I love Bernadette Roberts' description that Jesus dissolved or went through a wormhole or certainly perhaps other mysterious explanations. But we are here gathered on this Ascension Sunday so that we might grow toward this vertical dimension of God that draws all things and all beings toward itself in all directions. And we celebrate today this beautiful vision of ascension. And we'll be focusing on Bernadette Roberts as our mother, as a spiritual mother to all of us. And I look forward to hearing from our beloved Anna Vu Wallace, who will be sharing her divine feminine perspective on Bernadette. Just one announcement. I want to invite everyone to participate in the Gurdjieff Music Evening this coming Tuesday at 7 o'clock. We'll be broadcasting live from the sanctuary on Zoom. And you'll need the Zoom code for that event. And you can go to the website and click on the happenings link and you'll be able to get that Zoom code. But do participate in it. If you've never experienced the Gurdjieff music, it's a very sacred evening of receiving musical vibrations that can help ascend us, certainly from one level of negativity to perhaps a higher level of positivity. And I look forward to sharing that evening with you. So again, let us just take a moment in the silence and wish for the peace of all of the human family and for healing for all who are sick. And for all who are caregivers, and for clarity for each of our lives to remain held in center and unmovable in the face of any fears or lack. Let us wish for this now together. Amen.
As we bring fire to this candle wick, making it glow with light, may we also bring the fire of love to this time of prayer and worship. Amen.
Amen.
Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come. Thank you. Please stand and join us in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Let's begin with our invocation. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. And if you would be my echo, Lord, come to my assistance. Make haste to help me. Amen.
Where am I? Oh, honey, you're on the church lady show. How did I get here? Well, I'm sure she just wished you were here. The church lady, is she here somewhere? Oh, yeah, she's all around here, but you probably can't see her yet. She's like your true self.
My true self? That sounds familiar. Oh, by the way, my name is Red.
Hi, I'm Tammy Sue. Tammy Sue Terrapin. It's real nice to meet you. But, Red, you are famous. I know all about you. Everybody knows the stories about you and that basket of goodies and that wolf.
Did you say wolf? Is there a wolf around here? I just dropped the basket of goodies off at Grandma's house on the porch again. It's so hard, this social distancing. I miss my granny. But then I saw that wolf, and my heart started beating really fast. She's so magnificent, but scary, terribly scary.
Bless your heart. Did you say she? I never considered that wolf was a female. That changes everything, don't it?
Well, I'm just assuming she's a female because that little litter of pups that follows her out of the bushes sometimes. Tammy Sue, why do you think I'm here?
Oh, I know why you're here, honey. You're here to play the true self game.
The true self game? Is that a real thing?
Well, I expect it's real enough.
Are there any wolves in this game?
No, darling, there's no wolves, but I have heard a rumor that there have been some lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, no, geez, I don't feel safe anymore. I want to go home.
Did you say I want to go home?
Yeah.
Well, that's the magic words, darling. You just leveled up. You've arrived. You're home in the here and the now.
Wait, did the game already start? How did I level up? I don't have a clue.
Oh, no, silly, this isn't Clue. This is the true self game.
Oh, I'm kind of confused.
Well, that's all right. All you have to do is go through the game collecting tools.
Tools? Like rakes and shovels?
Oh, no, we're not talking about rakes and shovels. We're talking about conscious harmony tools. Tools to help you uncover your true self. This game is kind of like a buried treasure game.
Ooh, I think I might like that. Do you think it will help with my generalized anxiety?
Well, we'll find out, won't we? Now, let's see. It's time for the game to start. Oh, look, it's your first question.
Where? I didn't see anything.
Well, I'll read it to you then. All right, it's a question card. You get to ask your true self for a conscious harmony tool.
Okay. True self, I want one of those really cool conscious harmony tools.
Oh, look, it's the answer.
Where? I don't see it.
Oh, it's over yonder. I'll read it to you. The answer is practice.
Practice? Oh, yeah, I practice the piano 30 minutes every day.
Well, isn't that nice? But this isn't that kind of practice. I'm going to offer you a practice. Now, if you choose to accept it, you get to use it, and then you get to keep it. Isn't that wonderful? You get to keep the practice, and the practice keeps you. It's so reciprocal. All right, so I'm going to teach you how to meditate.
Okay. How does that go?
All right, well, first thing, you got to pull down the shades.
What? What do you mean, pull down the shades?
Your eyes. You got to close your eyes.
Oh, that's easy. Wait, that's not so easy. I'm a puppet. My eyes never close. Not ever.
Oh, sugar, that's not a problem. You just find a focal point to look at. Something that you can look at that isn't moving. Now, a picture of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the sweet baby Jesus would be just fine.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Now then, what you want to do is breathe in through your mouth and breathe out. And breathe in and breathe out. And after you do that a few times, then you say your sacred word.
What is my sacred word?
Oh, you're going to have to find that out for yourself, darling. You know how, Red.
Oh, right, I probably asked my true self. Oh, sweet, I think I've got it. Is it okay if it has two syllables?
Oh, yeah, keep it simple, one or two.
It's donut.
Well, I think the guidelines might direct you away from a sacred word like that.
No, you're right. This isn't working. My stomach is starting to growl. Let me think.
Oh, here's one. This one is really good. Kindness. Oh, dumpling. Honeysuckle, that is just a dandy sacred word. That'll work just fine.
Well, now after I say my sacred word, what happens next? What can I expect? Or maybe I shouldn't have any expectations.
Oh, clearly, you're overthinking this whole thing. You just rest in God after you say your sacred word.
Rest? Well, how long do I do that?
Well, honestly, you just rest until those little voices inside your head start talking again. And then you give them the password, and they'll quiet down again. Well, sometimes it's like herding cats, but that's not all the time.
Password? I thought you said sacred word.
Well, your sacred word is a password. It helps you uncover your true self, don't you know?
All right. Well, I think I can do this. I think I can. Now, do you really think it's going to help me with my generalized anxiety if I start doing this?
Well, sure enough. If you practice a couple times a day, it's going to take care of everything. And you're going to level up, I guarantee it. You'll be winning this game before you know it. But, unfortunately, I see Pastor Peter over there looking at the clock, so I think we're going to have to come back next week to finish. All right, Red, say goodbye to the Zoom audience.
Zoom audience? What's that?
Oh, I'll tell you about that later. Say bye. Bye. Y'all come back now, you hear?
Our first reading is entitled A Poem for My Daughter by Teddy Macker. It seems we have made pain some kind of mistake, like having it is something wrong. Don't let them fool you. Pain is a part of things. But remember, dear Ellie, the compost down in the field. If the rank and dank and dark are handled well, not merely discarded, but turned and known and honored, they one day come to beds of rich earth, home even to the most delicate rose. God comes to you disguised as your life. Blessings often arrive as trouble. In French, the word blesser means to wound and relates to the old English bletsian, to sprinkle with blood. And in Sanskrit, there is a phrase to carry with you wherever you go, sarvam annam, everything is food. Every last thing. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
As I was walking through the classrooms this morning, chanting, praying, I went into the preteen classroom and walked around, and then I came out and locked the door. Then I went to the young teen classroom and did the same thing, walked around in there, and I started feeling something really deep. And as I came out of the young teen classroom and locked the door, I became overwhelmed with this feeling of gratitude, and I went into the older teen classroom with my eyes closed. I was just feeling this extraordinary feeling of gratitude for these past 25 years of working with the young people and being a part of this community. And I stood in the middle of the room, and then when I opened my eyes, I was looking at the wall of the older teen classroom, and this was what I was looking at. A poem. I am grateful for the love. I am grateful for the sun's light above. The birds, the sky, the land, the sea, all of it fills me with glee. I am grateful for fire. I am grateful for choir. I am grateful for life and living to love. Amazing. And then I got to wondering what would happen, what amazing thing might occur if we all took a moment and shared a moment of gratitude together. So if you'd like to join me, I invite you to close your eyes and bring to mind something you're grateful for. Got it? Now as you think about what you're grateful for, focus in on the feeling. How do you feel when you remember this? Do you hear this? That's amore. What? That's Dean Martin. What's today? It's the 24th. It's the day of the spaghetti luncheon. Oh, well, if everything had gone according to plan, right now, all the youth would be preparing the spaghetti luncheon, which is a fundraiser for the pilgrimage to Lhama. But it's more than that. It's really an opportunity for the young people to show their gratitude to the community through Seva for all the community does. Wow, I can see the young people in the kitchen preparing the lasagna and the sauce. And there's some young people in the fellowship hall preparing the tables. And there's some with Sherry preparing the silent auction. And there's Jack with his minion cooking up the pasta. I mean, I can almost smell the pasta. Can you? Oh, my goodness. I could be grateful that that's not too hot. That's amore. Thank you, my love. Thank you, young people. Thank you, glorious community. And thank you, God. Amen.
Our second reading is taken from the book Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught, up until the day he was taken up. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, about whom you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He answered them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Don and Deborah Bernadette Roberts would be so delighted to see your puppets and props. She was a Montessori teacher and incorporated those kinds of props in her teaching. And even though her teaching is some of the most extraordinary philosophical, theological teaching I've ever come across, she had a way of communicating that was totally accessible and simple and opened hearts through her little demonstrations. So thank you. And I was just visualizing that spaghetti lunch. It's hard to believe a year has passed. So I hold a future memory for next Memorial Day weekend, tasting that delicious spaghetti sauce and being with everyone in the fellowship hall. And have an empathy for all of the youth of this class of 2020, and for all the youth who are curtailed in their activities that would be normally such a joy for them at this season of life. And the loss of the Lama pilgrimage is just one example of all the ways in which the youth especially have died to self, have had to let go of things that they cherish. I graduated from high school this week 30 years ago, and my experience was such an extraordinary one, and I can just remember all those moments with my fellow classmates that I have empathy for our class of 2020 and wish for them an extraordinary grace that they would be given in some way to celebrate and know a joy beyond joy. Anyway, so thank you for those teachings. And Mary Ann's reading of the book of Acts, chapter 1, ended with this question that the angels ask the disciples, "Why are you looking up into the sky?" And they go on to say, we didn't read it, but they go on to say, this same one that you saw go up is going to come back in the same way. Well, that's a whole other subject to get into, but one of the things I like to remind myself about is that this was a hinge. It's a hinge moment in Scripture and in the evolution of our spiritual development. Stop looking for your salvation to come from Jesus anymore, so to speak. Now it's up to you guys. Now you guys carry forward what you learn and receive from Christ. And it's a real reminder that this is a one-on-one journey between each of us and God. And while we can be inspired by looking up and to the saints, so to speak, and to the ascended ones, really this is about you and me and our journeys here on earth right now. So today we're talking about Mother Bernadette and Bernadette Roberts and how she's been a spiritual mother to this community. Certainly Mother Mary, as we talked about last week, has been a mother figure for generations and millennia, really, to Christians and spiritual seekers all around the world. Bernadette Roberts is relatively unknown to Christians and certainly to the world. She's relatively, virtually unknown, unfortunately, in part because she wanted it that way. She actively took measures to not promote herself and not become a famous guru. Although, if anyone had those credentials and had the right to do that, it was Bernadette Roberts. So she was very much in the tradition of Jesus, telling people not to talk about her, telling people to keep it a secret, to hold it within, and to do their own work. Bernadette Roberts is a mother to our community in particular because of the relationship that Tim and Barbara had with Bernadette. And for those of you who don't know Tim and Barbara, they're the founders of this community and church and retired after 30-some years of ministry in 2018. Their relationship with Bernadette Roberts seeded in this community evaluation for her teachings, which is a hard ask for anyone to sit and read Bernadette's books or to listen to her teaching, because she says so many new things, and sometimes she says them in a way that is not always soft and pleasant. So there's sometimes an abrasiveness to Bernadette Roberts' teaching and way of being. But you might expect that, perhaps, from someone who has gone through the experiences she has gone through and ended up where she ended up. But nevertheless, today is on Bernadette Roberts, and I'm going to share a little bit more just to set the stage regarding Bernadette Roberts, and then our beloved Anna Vu Wallace is here to share her perspective from the Divine Feminine on her relationship and experience with Bernadette Roberts. Bernadette Roberts was born in 1931 and died on November 27th, 2017. Sometime in the late night of that Sunday, the 27th, or early morning of the Monday, the 28th, I like to think she died. She died in her sleep, and I like to think she died on Sunday, which happened to be Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the liturgical year. It completes the whole liturgical year, and then Advent begins the next week. I like to think of Bernadette dying on the last Sunday of the liturgical year and on Christ the King Sunday, because in many ways her whole witness, her whole existence, her whole teaching was grounded in her grappling with what is Christ. Not just who is Jesus to her, because Jesus was disconnected from her. She never felt connected to Jesus, even as a little girl. But Christ was the big mystery of her life that she began to realize this was the essence of Christianity, to answer that question and to answer it well. What is Christ? And how beautiful that she died on Christ the King Sunday. And that really does answer it, that Christ is the Anointed One. Christ is the union of the divine and the human. Bernadette Roberts has a significant body of work that unfortunately most of it has been disregarded or ignored by her fellow Roman Catholics and the theological community. I hope to play my part, and I wish deeply that that is remedied. In fact, I had a Zoom call from a student at Yale Divinity School recently, and she reached out to us because she found Bernadette Roberts' Real Christ book in the seminary bookstore of Yale Divinity Seminary. I just couldn't believe it. And she reached out to our church to find out more about Bernadette. So although she has been widely disparaged and ignored by theologians, and in particular the monastic intellectual community, the Cistercian liturgical press, the academics of the monastic community, apart from her relationship with Father Thomas Keating, she has been virtually ignored by the mother houses of academic monasticism. That needs to change, because, and I believe it will change, because of her witness is so significant. That's one of the reasons why Bernadette Roberts' books, her primary books, I think, that articulate her theology and mystical theology, couldn't find the best publishers that I believe they deserve. And nevertheless, they have been published and they're available right now. I want to review some of her books very quickly, and I'm going to show them to you, and then we'll have the time with Anna. Bernadette's book begins with the book The Experience of No Self, which is published in 1987 or 88. And this is her story, part of her story, really just the beginning of her story. And then she followed it up with The Path to No Self, which is more in-depth and trying to answer many of the questions that flooded into her after her first book was written. Then the next book to be published, it was published in self-published by someone here in Austin, and then published by Sentient Publications in this version with two extraordinary introductions by Buddhists. And this book, What is Self, is a compendium of her articulation of the role, what consciousness is. So many people make the mistake of saying consciousness is Christ, or it's Christ consciousness. Well, that's not Bernadette's teaching at all. Consciousness is only one side of the story. It's on the human side of things. And even the greatest level of consciousness isn't Christ or isn't God. And consciousness, even the highest level of consciousness, whatever that might be, falls away when we die, must fall away. And certainly consciousness is a human thing, not a God thing. God's way beyond consciousness. Consciousness is a human experience, and no human experience is God. That's Bernadette's great teaching. Then came a book called The Christian Contemplative Journey, Essays on the Path. This was first self-published in a paper bound version. This is the actual book that was republished in 2017, right after she died. I have been working with her on this and getting this to this version, and I would love to republish this with several introductions and editorial notes and footnotes to help support her teachings, and I wish for that deeply. This is her masterpiece and the summa of her teaching, The Real Christ. This book came out first in a spiral-bound version, I believe in 2007 or 2008. And she desperately wanted to get this published before she died. And the years, 2 or 3 years before she died, I was working with her weekly on editing and getting this book into this version, this format, and was deeply helped by Joe Conte, her dear friend and professor friend. And this effort to get this published before her death, it was very clear to me that she needed this published, and her great disappointment when I was taking too long to do the edits and get the formatting. I was working as a pastor, and this was a full-time job in itself. And unfortunately, it's still not in its perfect form. It needs to be revised, and it needs an editorial apparatus and footnotes and better footnoting and endnoting and an introduction. But this book is her Summa, The Real Christ, and it's not easy reading in the sense that it has great ideas in it, but it is accessible to anyone who has, I would say, a high school level of education. There's no reason why you couldn't read it. It just takes slow reading. And then she has a book that came out right after she died as well that we were working on, that this is really the fruit of Ramesh, her dear friend Ramesh, and Patricia and myself to get this book out there. This also was self-published in a paperbound version, but now it's in this book form. And this is her autobiography of her childhood years about till she was 13 or 15 years old. And it's a wonderful story that shows her humanity, but also that this was a unique being on this planet. So these are her books, and there are other writings of Bernadette. She has journals, she has letters, and there are other resources that I wish very much to collect and preserve for the future, because though Christianity has ignored her today, for the most part, 200 or 300 years from now, she will be celebrated as the greatest Christian mystic of the 20th century. No question. Perhaps even the greatest Christian mystic, if we ever could say any sort of greatest or superlative or comparison among the mystics. They're all great. But her witness is extraordinary. In fact, I would go so far as to say, if Jesus had been allowed to live till his 80s or 70s, I believe that he and his teaching and witness would look a lot like what Bernadette's teaching and witness looked like. Jesus died at the age of 33, and the no-self condition was foisted upon him at that event. But had he been allowed to live longer, I'm convinced that he would have sounded a whole lot like Bernadette Roberts. And so I do believe that Bernadette Roberts' witness is the clearest revelation of what Christianity was trying to reveal through Jesus in 2,000 years. That what the heart of this spiritual journey is no more clearly articulated anywhere else in the last 2,000 years than through the teaching and writings of Bernadette Roberts. It's hard to swallow sometimes, but nevertheless, it is so coherent and clear. And finally, all this is set up because you're going to tell the personal stuff, but this Bernadette Roberts deeply draws upon Plotinus, especially his writings in the Aeneids. She's coming from a similar place, but she fleshes out his teaching from a spiritual perspective. She's deeply shaped and informed by Pseudo-Dionysius, also a similar echo to Bernadette's teaching in the writings of Pseudo-Dionysius. Margaret of Port, a 13th century, 14th century mystic who wrote a book called The Mirror of Simple Souls, she was burned at the stake because she taught the annihilation of the self. And she died in the year 1310. but she has a lot of similarities to Bernadette, but wrote in a very archaic way, and of course the church shut her down immediately. And then Meister Eckhart is also a peer and companion spiritually to Bernadette Roberts. But none of these authors, Plotinus, Pseudo-Dionysius, Margaret Port, Meister Eckhart, none of these mystics can really compare to the clarity and the simplicity and the accessibility of the spiritual journey that Bernadette leaves us with through her writings and through her videos. So Bernadette Roberts, you are a mother to my spiritual journey. You are a mother to so many of us on our spiritual journeys. You are a mother to this community, and I celebrate and honor your witness in life. And Annabu Wallace is here to share and your personal experience of Bernadette. And just before you begin, I want to say thank you to you also on a personal and professional level for your service to us in sharing wisdom from the medical community about shutting down. So thank you very much for your service to our community on the medical lines.
Thank you, Peter.
Yep.
I'm honored to be here, and it's quite emotional to be back here. So bear with me. I wrote down some things as soon as Peter asked me to present on my own personal experience of Bernadette Roberts' teachings. And I'm a bit surprised that you asked, because I struggled with her in the beginning. It wasn't as if I accepted her as my spiritual mother from the very get-go. In fact, it was quite the opposite. David and I have been attending CCH for approximately 8 years now. And centering prayer was easy. We had a meditation practice prior to coming to CCH, so that was easy to accept. And then when we were introduced to the work of inner Christianity, the idea of multiplicity nearly knocked me off my feet at that point. But eventually, as I tried it on, it became the way it practiced. It was amazing. It was just so significant in our lives that it became an ordinary, a norm, a practice for us. So we have centering prayer, and then we had the work of inner Christianity. And then about a year and a half into this beautiful practice, I was quite happy and, you know, founded this beautiful place, changed my life. Tim Cook introduced the book, The Experience of No Self. And of course, at that time, I completely have trusted Tim and decided that was what I was going to read. So I've got the book. Within reading about maybe the first three chapters of The Experience of No Self, I remember just putting down the book. And I had a pause. My husband was with me. David was with me. And I remember a feeling of like intense emotion. It was a bit of anger and a lot of disdain for the book and of CCH and even of Tim for introducing the book. And I looked at David. David hasn't read the book yet. And I said, this is not normal. This seems like a psychotic experience coming from a physician. Somebody missed a diagnosis on this woman. And I know there's medication to treat something like this. I mean, I was so disgusted that I really said to David, I think this is not my church. I think this is not what I wanted to do. But there was something inside, and again, practicing centering prayer and the work of inner Christianity, there's something deeper inside. One might say it's deputy stored a voice inside that says, keep going. And so I did. I finished the book. I must say that I had to will it. I had to really pick up another book and another book and another book and so forth of Bernadette's collection. I had two observations. Again, doing centering prayer and the work of inner Christianity and reading Bernadette's book, the first observation for me was something inside. There's an I that wants to reject anything that is new. It's too uncomfortable. There's a discomfort. I want something that's more ordinary, that's more comfortable. It's easier to accept. And to accept something that is so extraordinary that the self has not been able to ever see before. And of course, we're talking about no self. So there's a fear that something inside is going to die. So that wants to pull back. It wants to pull back. And that was one observation. The other observation was that there is an implicit bias inside that I didn't recognize. In fact, it took me years before I saw it. Now, I grew up in a culture that is very male-dominated, a very patriarchal culture. I was raised for 8 years in Vietnam, and women were encouraged not to go to school. Women were not encouraged to get an education. In fact, one of my family members told me, don't go to medical school. You're not going to be suitable for marriage. Nobody's going to marry you because you're educated. And then also, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and I remember conversations with priest who says to me, women cannot be an authority. Only men get to be priest. So these are the cultural condition that crystallized in me, and I didn't even see it. So there was a rejection of Bernadette because she's female. It was easier to accept Father Keating, Richard Rohr, men of the cloth. But for me, that culture, that crystallization was so fierce that it took a while before I could see it. So those two observations, once I saw it, and by grace, it started to fade. And as I began to read her books more and more, I was able to understand her more and more. And I just wanted to, I wrote down a few things just to, because it's so important. The three books I considered crucial in my spiritual journey is The Experience of No Self, The Real Christ, and The Christian Contemplative Journey. Those are my favorite three. And I wouldn't necessarily read them in that order. For the science mind, I probably would start with The Real Christ. This is exceptional for someone like me because of the scientific, the left-sided brain. It read more like a doctoral thesis, at least in the beginning. But like Meditation on the Tarot, you have to read segments of it. And it's not a thesis, and it started to speak to the heart. The Christian Contemplative Journey is a summary for me of all her significant teaching in small little bits. And then The Experience of No Self, of course, show me that the journey doesn't end at the unitive state. You know, she talked about in the What Is Self, there is the no ego. It's entirely different from the no self. This just blew my mind. And that there's still more ahead. The journey just keep continue. Now, The Experience of No Self may not be part of my spirit journey. I'm okay with that. What I came away with after all these years of her teachings is how she can significantly contribute to my understanding of Christ in relation to this person, Anna, or any person. And her teachings solidify and support my practices of centering prayer and of the work of inner Christianity, as well as even scriptures. You know, when John the Baptist says, he must increase, I must decrease, there's something there that in scriptures have given us hints to what she is even teaching us. So through these practices, the self diminishes through grace. And I think that's the biggest thing, is through grace. We don't do anything. We can work. We can make effort. And those, the less of me, the more of Christ, the more love I become. And the changes that I saw in myself in these past 8 years at CCH doing these practices are evidence to the journey that she eloquently expressed in her books when I was open to them. And as it self diminishes, I'm able to see more and more into the no-self state, as she described. The most significant evidence for me is the privilege to be in attending to the dying. This was to me the evidence after reading her books that I see in sitting next to someone, whether in hospital or hospice medicine, and actually see the no-self state occurring before me. The description that my patient, when I took time to sit and listen to the dying, I can see in them and be witness to that transition to into a no-self state before they leave their body. And this is mind-boggling for me. And I knew her teachings were so significant. And I knew that that is the stage in which she described, still in a function human form. How beautiful is that? Mm. So I've never met Bernadette Roberts. I know many of you all have. And I enjoyed the stories. Tim Cook, Barbara Cook, and so many of the people here at CCH described Bernadette to me in such a way that she became alive to me. I love her humanness. I love the story about her smoking cigarettes and eating white bread. And, you know, it helps me to feel into my humanness while on this journey. So it's okay that I eat a bag of Cheetos, my first personal favorite, and that's not going to hamper my spiritual journey. I love how she lived while still in this no-self state. And her writing is just full of her humanness. And it's quite funny at times. And as Peter said, sometimes it's even very abrasive, sometimes even reprimanding. I especially enjoy her warning at the very first page of The Real Christ. The way is indeed, as she described, and for me, it is through the two legs of our church, through the work of inner Christianity and centering prayer. This is the way. Bernadette Roberts is my spiritual mother, and she taught me to embrace the who in me when I can reach at the same time the what within. And for that, I'm so grateful.
Oh, thank you, Anna. That is a beautiful presentation of your journey. And I particularly was touched as you were sharing about the verification of her ideas when you're with people when they're dying.
Yes.
Could you go more a bit into that? Could you give us a couple examples of what you're seeing when people are dying?
It is almost as if there is just a presence for me. The eyes are open. I know the person is in human form. And when you ask question, the questions comes back, not anything focused on the self. There's no reflection of the self. And that's what I see multiple times over and over again. When I ask a question, it comes back more of towards love, but there's no need to self. And it, as family gathers around and attend to the person, wanting the person to eat, they have to be reminded, would you like to eat? Oh. And they would, you know, mm-hmm. take in, but it was taking in substance for the family, not for that person themselves. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does.
There appears to be a lack of reflection of that person's journey, whereas previous visit has been sadness and you know, joy and laughter at memories. And then as the person transition, all of that goes away. and they just become this presence. You can ask questions, and all you get back is just a smile, love. Even I even had the chance to even have someone say, "I love you." Hmm. And I don't know the patient that well. And I said, I would say, "Would you like me to tell your family that you love them? I love them. I love you." Hmm. There's a difference. There isn't a, I don't know, there's just isn't that personal reflection anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just all pure love. And there's joy and peace, and you can feel that as you sit with the person. And it makes you almost in tears because the moment and the presence is so palpable. It doesn't happen for everyone during the moment of death, but it was enough for me to witness in so many patients that when I keep going back to her books again and again in that experience of no self and reflecting what the patients who transition mm-hmm. was able to do the same.
Thank you so much. That's a beautiful reflection, and thank you for your ministry in the hospice. The other thing that you said that I thought was really, really important and insightful, and that is how Bernadette focuses on grace. Mm. And that her emphasis was so on grace that she didn't go looking for this experience of no self. She didn't even know it existed. You know, she was in the monastery. She came into the unit of state and realized that's why I came to the monastery. I don't need to be in the monastery anymore. I'm going to go live my life out, love others, get married, have children, and live from the unit of state and spend that state. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden she starts experiencing these things. And so this is really the work of God, the grace of God in her life. And so I think that's really important that you kind of brought out the contrast between work and grace. Because Bernadette Roberts, she wasn't opposed to the work. I don't think she really understood it because she had such a deep experience with grace, or maybe she didn't have she had a personality, and she said her personality was still there. She said the no self state is this not the same thing as no personality. Mm-hmm. You can have a personality and still be in that no self state. But nevertheless, you know, she emphasized that aspect of divine grace, particularly through the Eucharist, that it's happening to us as we're surrendering. So mm-hmm. I appreciate that. And I can see that in your life as well. You know, I can see your journey and how you're unfolding and being consumed by that love and you're a witness to that as well. Anything else you want to share?
No, I think I said enough.
it's really beautiful to have your witness. Really, that's one of the reasons why I asked Anna to share, is because I knew that she struggled with Bernadette to begin with. And what I love so much about your witness to Bernadette is that your personal experience verifies it. You didn't just believe it, you know, because Tim told you to read it. And I think that's really important. I think if you have trouble reading Bernadette Roberts, acknowledge that this is really bothersome to you. When I first started reading Bernadette, I could read a page, and it didn't land here. And then I was on a retreat, a particular retreat that it was a January retreat. I went back to the same place the next year, and instead of just reading one page, I was able to read the whole chapter. And then a year later, I was able to read the whole book. Mm-hmm. And now I can't live without reading Bernadette daily. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just one of these things where we grow into it, and we live into it. So let's just see, is there anything else that we want to talk about regarding Bernadette that comes up? I think there are, as a spiritual mother to us, that being in her presence was an experience of being completely accepted and loved at the same time as being completely seen. I always knew I was completely seen all through and through, more than I could see myself. And at the same time, I felt completely loved by her. And I just will say that on my first retreat that I went to be with Bernadette for a weekend retreat or 3-day retreat where she was teaching on the real Christ, all day Friday, or whatever it was, the first day when we were all together, she said, well, this evening, if you want some free time, you can take it. Otherwise, I'll be down here and we can just talk. Well, I was so burnt out on listening to Bernadette all day and really quite irritated by it that I just went upstairs that evening and took a bath. And come to find out, they were downstairs, Tim and Barbara and a bunch of them were down there just having a blast with Bernadette. And, you know, I missed out because I was burnt out on her. And it was more than I could handle. And I think it's okay to just acknowledge that it's more than you can handle sometimes. And in terms of where to start reading Bernadette, I would not start reading the warning in The Real Christ. If you're going to read The Real Christ, start on page 197, summary so far, and then pick up that way. Because her main teachings on how it all plays out for us start then. The first half of the book is really trying to articulate and answer so many of the questions that people talk about from a theological perspective about the church fathers, about the church councils, about the doctrine of the Trinity. But later in the book, she gets more practical. She has an image that she often talked about as the self or consciousness as a balloon. Mm-hmm. And she talked about the spiritual journey as one of being filled up with self, so to speak. That the balloon expands. It must expand. It's filled up with consciousness and God. That God is inside the balloon, mm-hmm. and God is outside the balloon. And this little thin layer of the balloon is this union, the Christ, the union of the divine and the human. And it's what separates the immanent God from the transcendent God. And she talked about another beautiful little image she had was she talked about a needle. Mm-hmm. And if the needle represented God, and if the needle came into you, the needle doesn't feel anything. You feel something. So, you know, this was her way of talking about the distinction between no one is becoming God. We're not becoming the needle. God isn't becoming human, so to speak. But we experience God in us. Like we experience the feeling of the needle. And I think I would prefer the image of a straw coming into a drink. You know, the straw is not the drink, but the drink is available through the straw. And so these were her simple little analogies and examples, and there's lots of them that she goes into. Why did she use all these analogies? It's because she was a mother. At mm-hmm. heart, she was a mother. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I don't believe that I'm a mother. I don't believe in God. I know God. I don't believe I'm a mother. I know my children. And so everything she did and all that she taught in her later adult years came from that mother heart of hers. Mm-hmm. And she cared for us as a church community. And so many of us felt that care, I know, personally.
I like the image for me is the paper, the circle of paper, yeah. And cutting a hole in the middle. And as we progress in, and our self diminishes, the hole just get bigger, yeah. and bigger until there's a rim. And what she did say, and that's really what I hang on to, is this is hard.
Yes.
Reading her is hard, yes. but the journey itself is hard.
Yes.
So what I wanted to do was just to throw everything out because it's so hard. But as I journey through it, and will it and bear with it, it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. And it's evidence to me, yes, it is hard, but yeah. gosh, the reward is so big.
Yes. And that image of the circle tour that she does, the concentric circles that start expanding from the center is consuming, mm-hmm. that's a one-dimensional example. But how, if we could have an example that would describe, so what's going away? Mm-hmm. Irritability, mm-hmm. negativity, the self is going away. You know, yeah. very practically speaking, in our lives, our personality is becoming passive and disappearing, being consumed by something. So you become more patient, more loving. How would you visualize that process? You know, the psychological development you know, more than just this one-dimensional circle tour thing. I like to think of like a rose opening up. And in between every layer of the rose petals, there's space becoming available until the center really becomes wide. And so it's three-dimensional for us. It's every center in us, intellectual, emotional, physical, starts opening up. It's like that rose opening up. It's not just a circle. And there's circles within circles with circles, different layers, and the layers are opening up at different in different ways to God. And so it's not all occurring at the same time. So these are ideas that we can evolve and expand upon. And I have a big, big wish that we would honor our spiritual mother, Bernadette Roberts, in a significant way. And we'll talk about that another time. But we play a particular and unique role in serving her legacy as a church community. She honored us in her afterword in the Real Christ, and we will honor her and honor her legacy and her witness. Thomas Keating has an archive somewhere at some wonderful university and all sorts of accolades, and I believe that we can honor our mother in a similar way. And I say thank you to Bernadette Roberts and for her witness in life, and thank you for your witness in life and your love for God and for David and for your family and for our community and for all your patients and the way you're serving them. And we pray God's protection over you as you enter into this new season where we don't know what's coming. And we just pray for your health and well-being. And my heart bows to the divine heart in each of you and to you and to you and to you and to you. Amen. We take our tithes and gifts and our offerings into our heart and virtually go online and pay at PayPal through our church website or however it is occurring. Thank you for feeding the church that feeds you. And we take our supply into our hearts and remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to simply remember God.
Silence of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's presence, love, and action in our lives. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
We join together in the prayer of communion, remembering all who are sick and recovering and caring for those who are sick all around our world. And we dedicate this Eucharist to their wholeness. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love, that we may join in singing with all the saints. Alleluia. 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 During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's join in singing Amazing Grace.
I'm not afraid.
Thank you, each of you, for joining us for this service in the cloud of the Church of Conscious Harmony. We felt your love, and we trust you felt ours. And we remember the Gurdjieff music this Tuesday night, and we remember the gift of Bernadette Roberts, a spiritual mother to all of us. Next week, we'll be ending our series on our spiritual mothers by focusing on the Holy Spirit, Pneuma, as mother. And our dear beloved Francis Franklin will be here to share on that. The love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace, presence of the Holy Spirit is with each of us on our journeys deeper into the surrender of self, into love. Amen.